Welcome everybody to our afternoon session, the worship service, Vespers program with Creative Media Ministries. It is a live stream YouTube program. If this is your first time that you are joining us on our YouTube channel, don't forget to subscribe if you like the channel, what you're hearing, and then there's much more blessing that if you will go through some of the messages that we have posted, especially Bill Livers' seminars and sermons, you will be blessed. Share with other people, with friends, with church members, post it on your Facebook. Let these messages go forward and to bless people. More posting are coming. All the archive of Pastor Bill is going to be posted on this YouTube channel. All the messages that were recorded for him from cassettes all the way to the videos and DVDs. Everything is coming on. Subscribe, you'll have the access to them all. So, as of now, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me as we are opening the Word of God. And by the way, before we do that, I want to welcome, special welcome, to Whipple Creek Adventist Church in Washington, which is the Oregon Conference. And Pastor Edward, welcome. I don't see you, but you probably see me. Hopefully this year we could visit your church and we could see each other live. Thanks for joining us. Let us have a word of prayer. Loving Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for the hours of the Sabbath. Thank you for the sunshine, for freshness of the air. In spite of everything that happens in the world, Father, as we look around, we could see your creative power. And that power is the same as the redemptive power. It is not diminished. Your power is strong enough to save everyone who comes to you. And as we come into your presence, Lord, we want to praise you for this time together, opening the Word of God. We claim the presence of the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Unfold the treasures of your word that we may have a deeper understanding and the glimpses into your character, that it may draw us even closer to you, that nothing will be able to take us out of your hand. We pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So if someone is joining us on the free conference call, please mute your phone. So if you are walking in the room and listening, so it will not be actually background heard by other people, thank you for doing it. And today's story, we are going to go into Mark chapter 14. So this is the story, actually, it's found in four Gospels. Story of Mary anointing Jesus in the house of the Simon the leper. So Jesus already made his disciples know that he will be killed as they come to Jerusalem. So they arrive to Bethany. Bethany is 2 miles from Jerusalem. He is invited to the home of Simon the leper for a feast that Simon had thrown for Jesus in appreciation for him healing Simon the leper. So Simon was a Pharisee. And if you make some study, as I have done, and Aline also, who is joining us now, Aline Harris and Michael Harris, they have a ministry of Restoration in the Son. We were discussing this, and we found out that Simon actually is a relative to Mary, of Mary. And he is the one that led Mary into this lifestyle, into sin. So during the feast in the house of Simon the leper, Mary comes in. Everyone in Bethany knows that Mary is a big sinner. Mary is a big sinner. This is the same Mary called Magdala, sister of Martha and Lazarus, Lazarus whom Jesus raised from the dead. Same Mary from whom Jesus had cast out 7 demons. Same Mary that was caught in adultery and was set up to be used as a bait to trap Jesus. That is in the Gospel of John chapter 8. It is the same Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and learned of him. Saint Mary, who stood by the cross, fell to the tomb, and was the first to see the risen Savior and first to proclaim the risen Savior. So this Mary, this big sinner, was the one who believed the words of Jesus and was fully aware of his near death. Let's observe something here. Where is the anointing taking place? This is a very important thing. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 3, we read, while he was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Wow, the anointing is taking place in the house of Simon the leper. Okay, what the leprosy is standing for? Sin. It is a living death, so to say. Correct? So what spiritual conclusion can we draw from here? We, human race, we are all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are lepers, so to say. We all are affected by it. Our planet, my friends, is a home of a leper. And it is quarantined from the universe, just like today. The quarantine on this planet. That's what sin had done to us. So, and it is in this home of the leper that Jesus grants forgiveness to a sinner. Think about this. Every encounter of Jesus from his birth to his death had meaning. Nothing ever happens by accident in the life of Jesus. And my friend, if Jesus is in you, nothing will ever happen by accident in your life. So why live the life of worry? If Jesus is in us, nothing ever will happen by accident in our lives. So, let's take a look who is present at the feast. Of course, we know that Jesus is there, his disciples, Simon the leper, Mary, and the Bible says guests were there, and also many others outside the house. So, let's take a look what this anointing meant for Jesus and for everyone present. What it meant for Jesus, we read in verse 8. Jesus said, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Wow. Let's take a look what this anointing meant for Mary. If you open with me, still hold on to Mark 14. We're not done with Mark yet. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 38. Luke chapter 7, verse 38, we read, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Did you know that Jewish culture, it is humiliating to a woman to have her hair touch the ground. That's what Mary is doing. She is so humble. She doesn't... It's okay for her to be even humiliated as long as she could do this service to Jesus. And verse 8 of Mark 8, Mark 14, we read this. She has done what she could, anointing the body of Jesus beforehand for the burial. That's what it meant for Mary, this anointing. And let's see what it meant for Simon, this anointing. In Luke 7 still, verse 39, we read this. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And I would question here, who is a bigger sinner here, you know? Well, this is another message. Now let's see what this anointing meant for the disciples. Take a look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 4. Mark 14 and verse 4, we read, "But some were indignantly remarking to one another, what has this perfume, why has this perfume been wasted?" So for the disciples, it was a waste. Wow. And we could read here from the notes that Christ's sacrifice is an expensive perfume, gift offered to humanity, and somebody can call it a waste. You know, this touching of Jesus by the sinner, what does it mean? What does it represent? Think about this for a moment. I could see in this that a sinful woman was able to touch Jesus is telling me something profound about Christ. Let me tell you what it means. It simply says to me and to you that Jesus is approachable. And if you stumble into sin, my friend, oh, please don't listen to Satan that Jesus doesn't love you anymore. Please don't do that. Run to Jesus as you are. In repentance, he is eager to restore you. Jesus is approachable. He is approachable. He is accessible to sinners. Sinful woman touched Jesus. There's a transaction also takes place. Every time somebody is touching Jesus or Jesus is touching somebody, there is a transaction taking place. Remember the story of leper. Jesus touching the coffin also. The unclean. Raising the dead. Every time there is a transaction takes place. Whoever Jesus touches or whoever touches Jesus, there's a transaction. Did you ever touch Jesus, my friend? I mean, really, did you ever touch Jesus? Did Jesus ever touch you, my friend? So that all that you are could be transferred upon Jesus, so that all that Jesus is can be transferred unto you. So when you touch Jesus, there's a transaction, my friend. When Jesus is touching you, there's a transaction taking place. So what happened then now when the alabaster box was broken? Take a look. Don't close Mark 14. Let's take a look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we read from verse 2 the following. Actually, verse 3. John chapter 2, verse 3. Mary then took a pound of a very costly perfume of nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Wow. The house was filled with the fragrance. Whose house was it, my friend? Think about this. Whose house was it? It was the house of the leper. Okay? What does this breaking of the alabaster box with very costly perfume of pure nard represent? It simply represents Jesus Christ and his die. Let me read to you a quote from the Desire of Ages. As the alabaster box was broken, aroma filled the room, the whole house. So Jesus was to die. His body was to be broken, but he was to rise in the fragrance of his life was to fill the earth. And I would add to it, through us, my friends, we are the body of Jesus. So, what does the aroma represent now? I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, we'll see what aroma represents. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And walk in life, in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So the love of God, the love of Christ is that aroma. So who made the aroma fill the whole house, my friend? The woman. The woman. And what the woman stands for in the Bible, what is the symbol of? The church. And whose house was it? The lepers. You know, Jesus had said to his followers that you are the light of this world. He said also to his followers that you are the salt of this world. And what is the function of the light and the salt? The function of the light is to bring light. Whenever the light comes into the room, into a dark place, the darkness expels. So the function of the light is to expel the darkness, correct? You agree with me? Yes, I know you do, because there's no other choice, no other option. Now, what is the function of the salt? The function of the salt in those times was to preserve from rottenness, and even today, preserve from rottenness. Now, let me give you a fact, my friend. Today, this world is groping in darkness, and you could see it. Anywhere you live on this planet, if you are a Christian, you could see that this world is getting darker and darker. And only light can expel the darkness, correct? This world also is rottening. I mean, it's really rottening. I came to this country almost 30 years ago. This country is not the same, and the world is not the same. It is rottening, and now it's rottening so fast. It's amazing. Now, if this is happening in the world, if it's being darker and darker and rottening more and more, let me give you a radical statement now. It hurts me to say this, but I have to say this, that the Christians and the leaders of the Christians in every denomination, especially in this movement, from bottom to the top, we must hear this and understand and know and realize and to admit this fact, that the condition of the world around us today is in direct proportion with the condition of the church, because we are the light, we are the salt, the world is rottening and in darkness because the light is not giving the light and the salt is not giving its saltiness. I had to say this, I'm sorry, but I had to say this. We need to hear this. We need to be awakened as a movement. We don't have much time left, my friends. We don't have. The time of plenty is gone. The time of drought is upon us, and we must do the work of God as much as we can in this little frame of time that we have, so that many souls as possible would hear the three angels' message and the fourth angels that will enlighten the whole universe, whole world with the glory of God. So, we have a special calling, my friends. We have a special calling. Let me read to you verse 4 of the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. But some was buried But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? Heavens are amazed how human family refused the gift to be uplifted by Christ's love. And they may as well say, why this waste? Why this waste the human race is saying today by their action. Now, let me read to you verses 5 through 9 of this passage. For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, that is a year's worth wages, and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? So she has done a good deed for me. And by the way, I could say, for us as well, and you will see this later, why it is for us as well. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you could do good to them, but you do not always have me. So she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Wow. My friends, if you study the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, the entire Gospel, specifically verses 2, 14 through 20 and through 47, and Mark chapter 14, and even the other Gospel of the story, you will come to conclusion that the feast at the Simon's house and the anointing of Jesus took place just at the same day. The maximum frame of 2 days between his crucifixion and the anointing. No more than 2 days. Probably less. What insight this frame of time can give us to the anointing and crucifixion? Let me tell you what it tells me. As Jesus was at the supper, when Jesus was risen, when he was at the supper, when he was at the Pilate's court, at the court of Caiaphas, when he was beaten by the soldiers, his action of love, that symbol of love that was on him, that aroma, that fragrance, was there to turn every sinner to God. It was still there. And that's why I think when he was on the cross, tempted to come down, I was just wondering, could it be that a little breeze would just go through his hair, and that hair that still had that aroma would just hit his senses and give him some reminder of what took place just about a day or so ago. His action of love, that symbol of his love, that aroma that was still lingering on him, was there to turn every sinner to God. Everyone either despised him, betrayed him, doubted him, forsaken him. Everyone. But when Jesus hangs on the cross, tempted 3 times, come down from the cross and save yourself. You know, Jesus could do it. He could have come down from the cross and saved himself. You know that. But he couldn't, by coming down from the cross and saving himself, save you and me at the same time. He had to make a choice. And the choice that he made, my friend, should speak loudly to your heart today. And every time you look at the cross, should speak loudly to you the words of Jesus, the words of gentleness, never spoken, but his action speaks to you louder than the words. And it speaks this: I can come down and save myself. But I choose to save you instead of me, because I love you more than I love myself. That Jesus is, my friend. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Apostle Paul writes, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. The joy of Jesus was to save you, my friend, and to give you eternal life. The cross of Jesus, the dying of the cross, was to losing his existence, so his joy to save you, to give you eternity, was so much greater than the perspective of Jesus to lose his own existence. So he endured the cross and despised the shame, just for you. Just for you, my friend. That presence that still was there as a reminder to him on the cross that there is at least one person today who will truly appreciate his sacrifice and his faith on the cross. That's why Jesus said in verse 9, truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Wow. And let me tell you this, and of the church that will spill the fragrance of Christ will be spoken throughout the whole eternity, throughout the whole universe. What a privilege and honor God had given to you and to me, my friend, as the body of Jesus, as this movement that God had raised to restore the gospel and to proclaim. And the gospel is simply the character of God. That's how simple we can give definition to the gospel. The goodness of God, his character, when people see it, it turns the sinner to God. And we need to reveal this goodness of God, this fragrance of God. Therefore, my friends, we must appreciate the faith of Mary, one of the big reasons among many that kept Jesus on the cross to obtain redemption for each one of us. Another statement in the Dark Ages, on the cross, the aroma of that fragrant oil was reminding Jesus of the earnest of the love of Mary for forgiveness of sins that would be his from the redeemed ones. Wow. Imagine if when Jesus was on the cross, Satan was tempted Jesus, saying, hey, no one cares for you. Look, everybody had forsaken you. Your disciples left. No one cares. Why? Why would you die? Come down from the cross and save yourself. That aroma, and not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross, but there is one person who will appreciate my death and will be with me through eternity. And my friend, that's why he's a personal savior. If you would be the just one person who would accept the sacrifice of Christ, Christ would be just for you. That's how you how precious you are in his sight. Well, as the symbol of that woman is the church, what is the ramification here for us? The faith in the church will be the cause to preserve the life on this earth. The faith in the church will be the cause to preserve life on this earth. And Jesus said, when I come, he said, will I find faith on this earth? My friend, Jesus is asking you and me today, when I come, will I find faith on earth? When Jesus was risen from the dead, two groups of people came to the tomb. Among them was Peter and John, but the first person to whom he revealed himself to was Mary, who had stronger faith and love for the Lord. And I hope that you are among those whom Jesus foreseen that will appreciate his sacrifice. You see, when Jesus said to Mary in John chapter 8, when she was about to be stoned and killed for the sin Jesus said there, neither do I condemn you, merely discovered the price of your forgiveness that Jesus was about to pay soon. And she brought very costly perfume, ointment that was fitting as a gift for the kings. And she brought it to express her gratitude to Jesus. The question for each one of us today is, have I discovered how costly it was for God to grant us redemption and salvation? How can I, how can you, my friend, express gratitude to Him? Do we have this treasure in earthen vessels, Jesus Christ, the fragrance? Do we have it? When Mary brought in that jar made of a rock, no one could sense what was in it. No one. It is only when the jar was broken that the house and all around, the whole house and people in this house could sense when that jar is broken, everyone in the house of the leper would sense what was in a jar. It filled the whole house. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Apostle Paul says to us, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Christ, my friend, is your treasure. Christ is my treasure. And now, unless we are broken, there is no aroma in the leper house. Unless we are broken, there is no aroma in the leper's house. Have you discovered how costly it was for God to give you salvation? How can you express your gratitude to Jesus, my friend? Have you spilled the perfume for Jesus in deep appreciation for what He has done? Have you, my friend? Think about it. And not only you, but I address this to myself. Have I spilled the fragrance, the perfume, in deep appreciation to Jesus Christ? You know, this last 3 months of the global crisis, everyone is in crisis. Everybody. We understand this. And as a church, we are in crisis today as well. In different ways. There's some spiritual drought, there's some financial drought, health drought, different ones. But what I want to address now, God has raised this movement to proclaim the gospel to all world. And small ministries were hit hardest in this crisis. And small ministries, they are more active now in spite of the crisis. And we see how God is working every Sabbath. Number of churches joining to us, they're discovering the channel where they can be also strengthened by the gospel. And as I mentioned, that this is the channel where you could find all Believer's Reach programs. Everything that He ever produced, this is the only channel that will have everything. But this is one part of aspect of this ministry that we are working tirelessly now. But also, God is opening the doors now for us to visit the churches, because country is being reopened. We already have churches scheduled. By God's grace, have prisons being opened to go in with these messages. Sunday churches are beginning to open to hear the gospel that the Adventist church can present to them, the fullness of the gospel. And another goal that I have in the back of my mind, that even Muslims must hear this gospel, in a clear and undistorted way. 1.7 billion of them have not heard it yet. So, and that's what we as a ministry putting efforts and goals to reach. But unfortunately, we do not have funding, especially these last 3 months. And if the Lord is touching your heart today, if you'd like to support, that would be much appreciated. You could send your tax-deductible donations to Creative Media Ministries if you like. You could put CMM or Creative Media Ministries, P.O. Box 837, Murrieta, Murrieta, California, 92564. Here's one more time so you could write it down. It is Creative Media Ministries, or you could put CMM in abbreviation. P.O. Box 837, Murrieta, Murrieta, California, 92564. Or you could go on the website, www.creativemediaministries.org, www.creativemediaministries.org, and you could click on button donate. You could do it on the website as well. And if you haven't subscribed to our channel as you're watching now, please don't forget to do it. You will find there many righteousness by faith messages, very balanced messages that reveal the character of God in such an attractive way that your faith will be strengthened. That's why we're putting all this. We need to strengthen our church. When they say self-supporting ministry, no, we are not a self-supporting ministry, my friends. We are church-supporting ministry. And we are here to help churches and our people, the last days movement, to be strengthened so we can finish the work together. Amen? Let us pray, my friends. Lord and Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this time together, for the Sabbath. And most of all, we want to thank you for the gift of your Son and his precious blood that was shed on the cross to save us. Father, we are so grateful for it, for the gift of justification, salvation, redemption, making peace with us, Lord, through the blood of Jesus, even rendering our enemies powerless. Thank you, Lord. And as we are entering these years, the last years of the earth history, Father, we believe that we are living on the brink of eternity. I pray, Father, for your church, for your movement, that you will pour your spirit upon your people. Awaken us, revive us, strengthen us, Father, that nothing will ever be able to take us out of your hand, that our faith will be the faith of Jesus, that we will be so strengthened that this movement, Lord, through this movement, you will enlighten the whole world with the light of the glory of God. Father, we surrender, we submit to you. If there's anything in our lives that is not praising you, Lord, take it away from us. We empty ourselves. We want to be filled with Jesus, with everything that Jesus is, that there will be unity among your people, Father, that we may sense and see the beginning of heaven here on the earth. Bless, Father, everyone that joined us. Bless the Little Creek Church, Lord. Every person that is attending the church, those who left the church, Lord, draw them back. Enemy has stolen them from you, but you have defeated him. We claim every person that left the church back to you, loved ones and church family members. Bless each one of us as we part way for a time and watch over us, Lord. Bless our families and our churches with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, once again, if you haven't subscribed yet to this channel, please don't forget to do it and find so much treasure there. Click like if you like it and send us your note. And if you have any prayer requests, please submit to the website or on the YouTube channel and we will be happy to pray for you. And as of now, we are moving in a prayer session on a phone call, which is a free conference call. You're welcome to join us. You can dial it. You will be in, and you can share your prayer request. We will be praying for you as well. Feel free to dial at this number, 701-801-6162. Once again, 701-801-6162. Hope you join us. We'll be praying for you. God bless you.